I'm not used to this thing either, Clara. Okay, this is Psalm 5, if you need a moment to find it. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of the transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and cover him with favor as with a shield.
Thank you, sweetheart, for reading that for us and putting the emotion of that psalm into it as well. So today we continue with our summer series, Psalms, a Song for Every Season. And having chosen Psalm 5 to share with you today, I've titled my preach, In the Darkness, Seek the Light. So shall we just quickly pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless the preaching of your word today. I pray that what's of me will fall to the ground dead, but what's of you, what I believe is you've laid on my heart, I pray that it will land in people's hearts. We honour you this morning and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 5 is written by David, the son of Jesse, a shepherd as a boy and a king of Israel as a man. And in this psalm, David shows us a time in his life where he was oppressed by many enemies. And we don't know which events exactly this psalm is linked to in his life, but clearly he is in some turmoil. And you can tell that the stress and strain of that time has brought him to a point where he is uttering a desperate sigh. In Hebrew, the word is haggig, and the word means sigh, but it has a sense of utter desperation and turmoil about it. So when Jeff asked me to preach, he asked me to use a psalm that I'd held on to in a dark time. Well, I've never really used a psalm in that way, so I was a bit of a loss to know which psalm to use. Until a friend suggested to me Psalm 5, and when I read it and studied it, I came across this word haggig. And I was immediately reminded of the darkest time in my life that Illy and I had to undergo. It was a desperate time, and one where I clearly remember uttering that deep sigh of distress. So what I wanted to share with you this morning is what I learnt from that time and how that parallels David's. So what did I learn? That the Lord is with us in the darkness, that he will lead us through it, and he will give us the strength to endure to the end. So can I ask you, are you in a trial right now? Do you feel abandoned by the Lord? Are you at that point of despair? Or maybe you are about to go through a trial, one that may take you unaware. So I'd like to share with you three truths that I learned through that time, and also three things that I believe the Lord has put on my heart when I considered this. And hopefully this will help you seek the light when the darkness comes. So the first truth I learned was to pray. Prayer is often the last thing you want to do when trouble comes your way. Stress is a great robber of clear thinking, but prayer is absolutely vital. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we need to come to the Lord and speak to him. Set aside that precious time where we can meet him. And when we come before him, we need to tell him about our troubles, our distress, and pour out our heart to him, because he loves to hear our voice. He loves it when we come to him, and I promise you, he will hear you. But also when we pray, we should pause and we should listen. We need to wait on him for an answer. Sometimes it comes immediately. Sometimes we have to wait. And it may be a small, quiet voice, or it may be a loud one. Or it may be a scripture that highlights as you read, or a word or phrase that comes to you. Or it may be something that later leaps out from a hymn or a preach. But always when you pray, wait and watch for him to speak. And we see David do this in Psalm 5, verse 1. "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray." You see here, David is in an absolutely desperate state. He has that deep sigh, that haggik, a groaning of pain and turmoil. And he cries out to the Lord because David has a personal relationship with the Lord. He loves him. And the Lord describes David as a man after his own heart. And I think he thinks of us in that way as well. To David, the Lord is his King and his God. So how and when does he do this? So in verse 3, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." So David makes it a priority to go to the temple and to make a sacrifice. And for us, we are able to come before our Father in heaven through the Lord Jesus and because of his sacrifice for us. And the Lord hears our prayers. And he presents them to his Father. And then David watches. And what is he watching for? The Lord to answer his prayer, to speak or to move. So I also, like David, had to endure a trial and oppression from an enemy. The desperate time that I mentioned lasted 18 months. And I won't go into too much detail because you've all heard it before. But it was a trial that tested me to my utter limits. And Illy and I were subjected to extreme and constant noise from our neighbour, and also latterly oppression and abuse. And we came to a point where we clearly had to leave our beautiful house. And we wasn't expecting that. And we had to escape. But we felt the Lord wanted us to move, and he showed us a house that he had prepared for us. So as is normal with house moves, you go to the bank and you say, "Can I have a mortgage, please?" And all seemed to be fine until we hit a brick wall, and suddenly we were told we can't have a new mortgage because this was during 2020 and it was COVID. And a large part of my income is from wedding videography. And of course, no one could get married. So my income had completely dried up, apart from my school job, thank goodness. So that news was completely devastating, and this was the darkest time I remember. I distinctly remember the world dropping out from under my feet, and I felt helpless. I felt utterly betrayed by God. How could he do this? Where is he? He told us to move, but we can't. So did I hear wrongly? And I remember there was an onslaught of sound, and I just felt utterly desperate. And I remember physically sliding down the wall in despair. And I uttered that deep sigh, that groaning, that Haggic moment. What do I do? And I also remember, for the first time in my life, that I thought, maybe there is no God. Maybe I was deluded. It was all nonsense. And with it came a choice to give it all up. But somehow, like Jonah in the belly of the fish, I managed to get on my knees and pray. And it was the most heartfelt prayer I've ever prayed in my life. So can I ask you, when trouble comes your way, when you're lost and despairing, do you run away? Do you hide? Do you give up? Can I say to you, don't let Satan have the victory. Like David, take your groaning and your deepest sighs to the Lord. Set aside that time. It could be the most important prayer time of your life. Get on your knees and bow your head. Make that sacrifice. Get up early or give up that afternoon, the tablet or the TV. Put a fence around that precious time of the day where it's just you and him, that secret place. And lay before him your pain. Pour it out to him. And then watch and wait for the answer. Wait for him to shine the light into the darkness. Isaiah 42:16, I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. But I can assure you, the enemy does not want you to do this. Why? Because he knows the power of prayer. He will make you doubt. God doesn't care about you. Who are you? Why should he bother with you? He will do his utmost to stop you praying. So I don't know if you know this hymn from William Cowper. And it goes like this. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. So come to the one who loves us in prayer. But how do we fight the lies of the enemy that cause us to stop praying? Well, that leads me to the second truth that I learnt that I'd like to share. And that second truth is to preach to yourself. So what do I mean by that? Well, what does the Lord say about us? About those who love him? So pick up your Bible and remind yourself of how the Lord sees you. Remember what he has done for you. Tell yourself about your position in Christ. Speak truth over yourself. In effect, preach to yourself. And also remind yourself of who the Lord is. Look at David in this psalm, verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So David reminds himself of the righteous character of God rather than the sinfulness of his enemies. And then verse 7, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. So David reminds himself that he is different. He will enter the Lord's house and he will worship him. Not because he is more righteous than his enemies, but because his confidence is based on the Lord's steadfast and faithful love. So David knows well his scripture and is quoting Exodus 34:6. The Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So he comes in awe and reverence, and because of the Lord's righteousness, he will make David's path straight before him. Excuse me. So the Lord wants David to be reminded that every promise in his word can be counted on. He wants David to preach to himself. So in my darkest time, when I slid down the wall with that deep sigh, when we couldn't get a mortgage and escape, and the thought came that there is no God, along with a temptation to believe it, so not confusing the two, because one was a temptation, but if I believed it, I would have sinned. I, like Daniel, prayed the most heartfelt prayer. And the Lord answered. The Lord did answer. The words from Job, from the King James Version, 13:15, leapt into my mind. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And those few words from Job just cut through me. And it cut through the deceit and the lies of the enemy. And I woke up. Rather than curse God and die, I was reminded of the truth, that the Lord is faithful and steadfast in his love for me. So I didn't understand how, but I knew that the Lord would make a way for us. He would fulfill his word to us, that a prophetic word he gave us, that he would lead us to this house in Harbledown. However, there was still another year of waiting and pain to go through. And in that, I had to keep trusting and endure. And enduring the suffering in the meantime was the hardest. So can I ask you today, if you are under the lies of the enemy, is he whispering into your ear, there is no God? Are you about to give up? If you are, defend yourself. Pick up your Bible, pick up the word of the Spirit, and read the truth out loud. Here are some passages that might help in that process. Hebrews 4:16, draw near to the throne of God. Ephesians 6, put on the armour of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, remind yourself that though we walk in the flesh, our weapons can bring down strongholds. And the most famous one, Romans 8:31-39, remember that if God is for us, who can stand against us? But if all you feel is despair and pain and have no words, and you're unable to do any of that which I've just described, just remember David's Haggai moment. Throw up your groan and your despair to him, because it is a mighty prayer. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So once you have defended yourself against the lies of the enemy, you then have to endure the trial and walk through the everyday onslaught. So how can we have the endurance to keep going? Well, this leads me to my third and last truth that I had to learn. And the last truth is to praise. This paused too slowly. When you're under great pressure and distress, when you're undergoing a trial, look upwards and praise his name. It sounds counterintuitive because it seems usually it's the last thing you want to do is to praise him. But in all things, give thanks. Look at him and praise him for who he is. He loves to hear our voices. And when you do this, the bonus is it does us good as well. Praise means that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Praise unlocks the doors and lets the light of Christ enter in, and darkness will flee. David knew this, Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in him rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favour as with a shield. So David comes to the Lord in praise. He rejoices and sings for joy, and David finds refuge in it. And the Lord spreads his protection over him. And David also speaks of his love for the Lord, and he exhorts him. And the Lord blesses him and gives him favor, which is like a shield. So I remember distinctly during our trial, I had to go outside in the garden to do some work. And the noise was horrendous. And also I had to face the oppression and the abuse from my neighbor. So there was a real fear and anxiety about going outside. And I also found that during this time, I couldn't think clearly, that my mind became fractured. I remember a time when I came up, Jeff asked me, can you share a minute of how you're doing? And it turned into a 20-minute ramble, hopefully not like this. And I could not get my thoughts together. And I could see Ely saying, and that's what stress and anxiety can do to you. It really robs you. But a friend recommended to me, why don't you put on a song, some worship music? So I thought, okay. So I put in my headphones and I went and I hit play on the phone. And I was able to praise God as I worked. And one song at the time was very popular. And it was a song that the Lord used to cover me and seemed to be exactly where we were and what we needed to hear. And that song, I'm sure you know it, was I Raise a Hallelujah by Jonathan and Melissa Helser. And it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. And I found as I sang this song, the fear fell away. The oppression lifted. And the Lord's favor became a shield over me. And peace came to my mind. It drove out the anxiety and the stress. And I found I could think clearly again. So I wonder if you feel the same way. Has fear robbed you? Has anxiety chained you up? Can I encourage you to look up? Look to Jesus and praise his holy name. Find a way to worship him. Put on a tape. I don't know why I put tape. Who has tapes anymore? But put on your iPod or your phone, your MP3 player. Read aloud a psalm, go for a walk and sing a worship song. Allow him to part the clouds and to give you hope. So our trial in the house did eventually come to an end. My desperate haggard sigh was heard by the Lord. And I'm convinced it was that moment that turned the corner for us. The answers came and doors were opened that had not been there before. I discovered I could retire early from a previous job, which would increase my monthly income and also give us a lump sum to meet the gap that we needed to buy the Harbledown house. And instead of getting a new mortgage, I discovered I could move the current one to the new house. And also, we had some very generous friends and family who gave and lent us some money. So I thank you. It did take us another year of suffering, but we did get to the house we believe he led to. So I praise the Lord. And so I finish with this. Are you going through a trial right now, however large or small? You may well be going through or about to go through something that is far worse than we went through. If you are, how, as Dr. Kendall used to say, will you dignify the trial? Will you fall down, curse the ground, and die? Or will you put your faith and trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, he is the one who hears us pray. He is the one who gives us truth to preach to ourselves. And he is the one who we praise. Romans 5:3. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Lord knows our suffering, and because of his ultimate suffering on the cross, he is able to lift us up from the darkness and give us the light of hope. Amen.